Fidel Castro's recent death reminded me of a goodwill trip taken to Cuba in 2001 by an SIU delegation headed by my wife Anita's favorite politician, Paul Simon. During the visit, Senator Simon was photographed handing a book, unidentified in newspaper articles, to the Cuban leader. The book in the photograph was Milton Jamail's Full Count Inside Cuban Baseball. Jamail's book was published in 2000 as part of the SIU Press Writing Baseball series. The day after Fidel Castro's death, the New York Times published a front-page article featuring Castro's love of baseball. The article ranged from Castro's pre-revolutionary days as a pitcher and a fan of American baseball to his post-revolutionary use of Cuban baseball teams to bring pride to his country and embarrass the United States in international competitions like the Olympic Games. By some accounts, Castro was a promising baseball pitcher in his youth. An early scouting report describes him as a big, powerful young man, a good prospect with a passable fastball, good curve, who uses his intelligence when he pitches. There have also been stories that Castro was offered a $5,000 bonus to sign a professional contract to pitch in the United States. There was even a 1964 article in Sport Magazine in which Don Hoke, the third baseman for the 1960 World Championship Pirates team, claimed that he batted against Fidel Castro in a Cuban Winter League game played in 1951. In the article, Hoke said that when he came to bat late in the game, a group of University of Havana students, led by Castro, began a political protest by marching onto the field. When Castro reached the pitcher's mound, he picked up a glove and challenged Hoke to get into the batter's box. Anxious not to defy a mob of protesters, Hoke stepped up to the plate and was nearly beaned by Castro's first pitch. He deliberately fouled off Castro's next few pitches before the police, at the urging of the umpire, finally came onto the field and forced Castro and his fellow student protesters back into the stands. Over the years, baseball historians have cast doubts about Hoke's claim that he batted against Castro, but that didn't prevent fiction writer Jim Shepard from turning the incident, real or not, into Batting Against Castro, a short story first published in the Paris Review and eventually included in the Best American Short Stories, 1994. Shepard's Batting Against Castro converts Hoke's story into a tale of two hapless Americans, the worst players on an inept Philadelphia Phillies team, who decide to play winter ball in Cuba in a futile attempt to save their fading careers. While they end up being the worst players in the Cuban League, their team manages to play its way into the championship series. With the deciding game tied and in extra innings, Fidel Castro decides to come out of the stands to pitch against the two Americans. After he hits one of them with a pitch, Castro gets the other American to dribble a pitch back to the mound. Castro feels the dribbler, but in his excitement, throws the ball wildly into right field. When one of the Americans rounds third and heads for home, he discovers Castro blocking the plate. His face scared and full of hate, like the runner was the entire North American continent bearing down on him. We never learn the outcome of the game, but Shepard's closing image of Fidel Castro is certainly fitting. After the 1959 revolution, Castro became the embodiment of the hostility that existed for generations between Cuba and the United States. How different history may have been had Castro signed a professional baseball contract and ended up pitching for the New York Yankees instead of hating Yankees. The baseball-loving Castro never made it to the big leagues, but he certainly made it into baseball literature. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.